Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. And for you fathers out there, happy Father's Day. We're going to be hopefully finishing up the seventh chapter of Revelations, starting with verse 13. But however, if you would get your Bibles, the last part talked about with the multitude that's in verse 9, about the white robes. And so I really kind of like to go back and review a little bit before we get back over to that part. If you would, get your Bibles and turn to the Revelation, the sixth chapter, and start with verse number 9, which is talked about the fifth seal. Revelation 6, verse 9. It says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and the brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." All right, so the fifth seal is telling us here about the souls that are on the altar, and he tells us who these people are. They're the ones that have been slain. They have lost their lives because of what? The word of God and for the testimony which they held. As we've been emphasizing all along, this is time of the persecution, the Roman persecution. And it's going to continue for a little bit while longer, is what he's saying here. But he's telling these people here, these are the people that have lost their life for Christ and for God, because they would not reject the word of God. And their testimony was that my life is nothing compared to what God is. And I will serve God no matter what. If it takes my life, then you just go have to persecute me, kill me, or whatever. But here they said, they're crying out. He says, "Now, Lord, when are you going to judge these people? Our people are being persecuted down there, and we have been persecuted, and we lost our life." And he said, "When are you going to judge them, and when are you going to avenge them of it?" Well, he gives them an answer a little bit, but the rest of it, starting in verse 12, is the answer to what they're looking for. But in verse 11, he says, "Now look, and a white robe was given to each of them." Okay, here's one of the things he's telling you is the distinction between them. You're getting a white robe. This means the white, the purity and things, the holiness. This is showing that you're my child up here. And he said, "But now you go ahead and rest a little while longer." Now, I don't know about you, but that is beautiful music to my ears. Can you imagine what the rest is? How your life is? Here they've been tormented. They've lost their lives for it, but they've had hard lives. And we'll talk about that later on in the last part of the seventh chapter. But he tells you, go ahead and continue resting. Go ahead and rest a little bit longer, because it's not complete. The persecution is not going to end right now. There's going to be still more people that are going to die because of this persecution. But now, there is a time, it's going to be complete. And then that's the last part of the sixth chapter. He tells them that, yes, my judgment will come upon them, and it's going to be hard and it's going to be cruel upon them. But you look at this from a standpoint. If I'm reading this, I got this letter, this revelation, it's being read in the church. And I'm listening to it at this particular time, and I have lost a loved one, a member of my family, or a close friend, that they have died because of their conviction for the Lord. Knowing that they're with the Lord right now, and they're getting their white robe, and they're going to have rest. Doesn't that make it feel a little bit better? You know what? They're better shape than I am right now. And also, he's telling, look, the persecution's not over with. Some of you just reading this letter, probably going to die. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to go through tribulation. You may not, but some of you may just lose your life for me. But let me just tell you, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be in rest. And when you're talking about rest up there, you're talking about true rest. And then he continues on. At the reservoir, he answered them. But then he says about down in verse 17, he says, "For the great day of his wrath," this is God's wrath, "has come, and who is able to stand?" He's telling them, they asked him, said, "When are you going to do your judgment? When are you going to avenge us?" He says, "It's coming. The time's not right." He's telling them. He's giving them the answer. The persecution's not going to end right now, but it will. Then my wrath will come upon them. And then let me tell you, it's going to be severe. Then we get into the seventh chapter, and he talks about here now, about the four angels that are standing court. He talked about the winds and the tell them to hold the wind or destruction. And he says, well, man, he says, look in verse 2, he says, "Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea." Here's God's judgment coming. He's going to harm the earth. Saying, this angel saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." All right. Now, the ones in the white robes has already gone through the person. They already have died. They are victorious. They're in victory now. But now he's saying, "No, wait a minute. I have children upon the earth. I have servants of mine that's upon this earth, and I want their servants to be marked. They're going to be marked with the seal of God." Now, if you're a child of God, just think about that. God knows you. You're His. You have the seal upon you. And that means something up. It means something to, here he's talking about those that have been victorious to the death, that receives their white robe and the rest, but you and I, we have the seal of God. Because we have obeyed Him, we listen to His commandments, and we are servants of His. Then he talks about the number. He says, "These that are sealed," verse 4, "And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes and of the children of Israel were sealed." I know it caused a lot of confusion, the 144,000, but it's a number. And it's just a symbolism. And the symbolism here is, how many tribes were there of Israel? 12. And he says there's 12,000 out of each tribe. Well, 12 times 12,000 is 144. This is the number, he said, of my servant. He just used a symbol. Who was in the Old Testament? We talk about that the Old Testament, where you see a lot of symbolism. Well, the children of God were the children of Israel. And this is, that was his children. So how are you going to, he said, "Now you're like that. You're my children now. Just like you're the children of Israel are, well, here's a number." Well, there's 144,000. And that's a symbol of, that's how many of upon this earth that's going to be. Is that a true number? No. It's just a symbol of saying, this is my, God is telling you, these are my children. These are my servants. I know my children. I have sealed them and marked them. That means he knows me if I'm a child of God. Just like those children underneath the altar, he knows them. He knows every one of his faithful servants. And he's telling you, those that are in heaven are his, and he has still those on up on earth that are his also. Rose? You know, it's not only the benefit of being that here I've been marked or been sealed as a child of God, but like you talk about, I am under the protection of God. I am known as God's child. Let me tell you, that means a whole lot. Well, he said, what do you mean? It means, well, look at those that were died and have gone now. And he's telling you, Dale, don't worry about those people. I know you've lost some blood ones. Let me just tell you. They're in paradise. They're under rest. They're taken care of. Now, you just take care of yourself and be faithful to me. Charles? For these here, for us here, it says, now, if you go back, look at the, when we started this, it says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen shortly. Well, they have already been in the persecution, but it is not going to be over with. And he's telling them that the persecution is going to be a little bit longer. Let me just tell you, if you stay faithful, you will have the rest that you just, where there can beat anything. And that's what happened here. Now, then you get down to verse 9. And it says, after these things I look, and behold, a great multitude which no one can number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Okay. Now, we're going to get started with verse 13. And that's going to be talking about that. These are Doug's notes. So he had already through, so I just went ahead and going to use that. Most part I agree with it. There's some of it I'll tell you about. Revelations 7th chapter, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, those who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And from where have they come? And I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God And they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. All right. He says, ever since the multitude was introduced, that's the one we just read in verse 9. He's talking about here. He said the question posed by one of the elders says, and it seems to be that, well, you know, if you're reading this, who are these people in this white robe? And it's probably John is thinking about this too. And it's basically the elder is the one that comes up and asks the question here. Well, I don't want to do that. It says it seems appropriate that an elder, okay, one that represents the redeemed. Now, he's talking about in chapter 5 and verse 5. When has another elder spoke to John to help him give him the answer? 5:5. Anybody remember what it was?
It had to do with the lamb and opening the Joshua.
Okay. You have the scrolls in the right hand of God sitting on the throne. And the angel said, a strong angel, remember, says, which I think we're talking about the voice of it bellowing out, who is worthy to open the scroll? And the scroll's got 7 seals on it. And apparently nobody came by. And John started to weep bitterly about that. But the elder says, don't cry. There is one that is worthy to open it. That's the slain lamb. That's the lion. There is one. There is only one that can do it. And the elder was telling him, don't you cry about this. Okay. So the elder is one that comes along and asks him the question now about the white robes. Could it be what we just read about in 6, 9, and 11? Those that are underneath the altar? Is that who he's talking about? Wait a minute and we'll find out. He says it's a rhetorical question. But Eller knew the answer. He knew what it was. It says John's response is one of confession of interest or one that's looking for information. Well, John, I really don't think you know who it was, but who these white robes are, who these people are. And I think this is what the elder was talking about. Basically, he asked him the question, but tell me who this is. And basically, he's telling him, John says, look, you know the answer. I don't. You can tell me the answer. I don't know, basically. And he said to me, these are the ones. Okay. And if you look, you know, I'm not much on English. I struggle through English. Let me tell you, I passed it, and that's all I can tell you. But let me tell you, you look at this, and people have that notice. And the verb thing, and it's really a good point. The verb tense here indicates a continuous coming. Okay? He's talking about those there are there, but let me just tell you, there are more coming. This is just not it. There are those right there that have the white robes on, but he's telling, listen to this, it says, who come, it's really, they are continually coming in. It's not, this is just not all there is. Okay? There's going to be more. That's what he's saying. There's more that's going to be coming.
But when they come in, they will be given a white robe too.
Yes.
That's, you have to understand what he's trying to relate to them, to the symbolism. You know, we've already talked about the hardship they have because of employment. They can't maybe feed their family because they're being Christians, everything, and they're going through persecution. They're going through tribulation. They're just having a hard time. But let me just tell you the reward for being a faithful servant of God is going to be so great. And that's why I hit the picture he's painting for them. You've lost your loved ones sometimes, but let me tell you, they are taken care of, and you will be taken care of also. Let me just tell you, these are the ones that are here. They are joyous. They're singing. They're praising. They're happy. And you will be also if you just remain faithful to me. The great tribulation, as he's pointed about, it can be understood two ways. You can have a general or a specific. Now, the general. All right, speaking of afflictions that will come upon disciples, we already talked about before that Jesus had told them, they forewarned them that they were going to be in tribulation. Tribulations. They would have more tribulations and persecution coming for being a child of God. You see what they did to Christ, your master. What do you think they're going to do to you? You're going to be under tribulation. You're going to be suffering. You're going to be persecuted. Christ told them that. So it says, the saints were passing through tribulation at the time of John wrote, and they have continued to pass through tribulation since. This understanding makes the great tribulation the sum of all tribulation from Pentecost to the coming of the Lord. Okay. So he said, basically, when the church began, everything like that, until the Lord comes back again, you're going to be under great tribulation. Okay. That's the general understanding. That's generalized. Now, the specific one, in that great tribulation that took place in the Roman period through which the saints contemporary with John were passing, beginning with Nero's persecution in 64 and going up to Constantine in 313. Now, the Great Tribulation, it, to me, is a specific time. And this is it right here. Because he's telling me, he says, at the first revelation, what's going to come about shortly. Shortly is not 2,000 years away from us. Shortly is a period of time that's going to be here come shortly. Now, it can be a few hundred years, but it's not 2,000 years. Now, does this principle act work for you and I? Yes, it does. Are we going to be under tribulation? Yes, we are. But he is trying to, these people are under great tribulation. Let me tell you, we don't know what tribulation is unless you go back and look and read what that happened to them. Now, that's great tribulation. And we, Doug could talk about things, what they did to Christians, how they persecuted them. What Nero did, and he wasn't the worst one. There's other ones. The mission was terrible. They all were. And especially when they become into thinking that they, that the Caesars were God themselves, that they could do anything they want. And they did whatever thing, and they blamed the Christians for anything that wasn't doing right. They blamed the Christians. Well, it seems like that's the way it is today. The Christians are the ones getting blamed today. But you and I have not gone to the great tribulation that they have. You know, it's hard to see somebody, your loved one or family there, being taken away and put up on a cross and persecuted like that and crucified, even burned. That's tough. Now, how is that going to make you? Is that make you going to stand firm? Seeing that happen, do you want that to happen to you? I don't know about you, but I'm not too hip on pain. But that's the reason he telling these people here. We'll see how they are when they die. What a great blessing it was. And how God is protecting them. Like Rose said before, his protection is also in the next round. His protection is with us continually. He will provide and take care of us. Any other questions, comments? We'll go.
I see that runs in the family. You're just a big sissy like your
other. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't care much for pain. If you get time, there's some other ones that we'd like to talk about, but it depends. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Okay. Well, I tell you, this is good terminology here. It says, they have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they have obeyed the commandments of Jesus. To be a child of God. You know, there's things you have to do. We'll talk about a little bit later. The white robes, holiness, purity, has also to be associated with in heaven. Now he's talking about what takes place with the blood of the Lamb. Well, the blood of the Lamb, if you look at these verses here, it takes away sin. It washes away. We are forgiven. That's what the blood of the Lamb does. We're able to walk a new life because Christ shed his blood. And when we are washing his blood and through baptism, then we're white again. All our sin, our darkness thing has been cleansed. And he's talking about here, this is what the blood does. And it has washed them. That's the reason their robes are white. He talked about they have washed this effort. That means there is something that we have to do to be faithful, to be a servant of God. You have to do something. That's what you're talking about. You have to believe in it. You have to repent of sins and believe it. And then you have to be washed in his blood and baptized, and you have to continue on in his name. It's an active one. Just not passive. It's just not put up on you. And he says, for this reason, because they have washed their robes and made them white through the blood, they are before the throne of God. Imagine that now. They are now in front of God. They're seeing God in Christ. Now, see what a blessing that would be? Remember when Paul was talking about, he says, look, should I stay up on this world or should I go to Christ? You know, that was a hard thing for him. But this is what he's telling these right here now. Don't you worry about those that have been killed. And don't you worry about those that you are going to be killed. Because you're going to be in this white robe. And you're going to be before the throne. You're going to see God. Rose?
There had to be something that somebody come along looking at that going, white robes washed in blood makes no sense.
I know. Yes, it is.
You have to be washed in blood.
You think about being washed in blood and you get white? No. Yes, you do. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. you are cleansed, and then he comes to make you pure and holy, and make you have be able to have the wear the white robe.
And you know, they would have understood because of the symbol of the Passover, the blood of the lamb on the lintels and the doorposts.
Yeah.
They had to have that in order to be saved.
He dug it here. It is difficult to identify where before the throne might be. See chapter 14, because it talks about the 144,000 being in the same location. He says, perhaps it's best to understand the symbol of this location as representing the blessings that the faithful have to approach the throne of God in prayer and praise and to be heard by the Almighty. I disagree with that part. He's talking about when you die, you go to Hadean Rim. There's two places. We've already seen that. There's the paradise. Christ said to the thief on the thing, you will be with me in paradise. Well, what is it? How when Lazarus died, how was it described? Well, it was paradise. How was it when the rich man died? It was not paradise. It was torment. Pain, suffering. And so what he's talking about, they are there with their white robes sitting in front of God now, with him in Christ. That's the thing. That's where they're at. And that's the reason it gives them hope. My loved ones are there now, and I want to be there too. And you talk about serving day and night, continuous service. In his temple, okay. There's two Greek words said. The first speaks of the whole structure, and the second speaks of the holy place or sanctuary. The word used here is the latter of the two, thus continuing the symbol of before the throne. The fact that they serve in his temple, holy place, sanctuary speaks of their priesthood, for only priests were entered the holy place. And it says, you know, basically it says in verse 15, for this reason they are before the throne of God, they serve him day and night in his temple or where he abodes, his sanctuary, and he who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. That's another biggie. King James says, shall dwell among them. And here the New American Standard says this, that he shall put his tabernacle. It's a protection. You're in his place. He's going to protect you. And not only that, what else did he talk about? Let me go down. I want that. This last part. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. Think about our toil here upon this earth. How hard it is at times. And you know that they had to live a hard life for being a Christian. You know how if you're out there in the sun, toil and everything, how it is. No more. We talked about they wouldn't back, they only earn enough out there toiling all day just to feed themselves, let alone feed their family. No more. You don't have to worry about hunger. You don't have to worry about being thirsty. You don't have to worry about laboring it. What did he say? You continue your rest a little longer. Does that sound like you're toiling? Verse 17. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to springs of the water of life. And God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. Now, does this not tell you that God is going to take care of you? He's trying to put into terms a lot here, as I understand it here. You're not going to hunger. You're not going to thirst. You're not going to have to toil out in the hot sun. What it is? And shall guide the shepherd them. Shall guide them to springs of water of life. And God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. There is no sadness. There's going to be joy and peace. That's what he's talking about. Now, it's up to you and I to stay faithful like these people is if we want that white robe. Thank you.